Imagine for a second you're running this super exclusive nightclub. You've got the velvet rope, the bouncer, the whole deal. For years, your security has been pretty simple. You give the bouncer a clipboard, a list of
The
names.
do not admit list.
Exactly. Guy shows up, names on the list, he doesn't get in. Simple, it works.
It's the standard way of doing things, sure. It's static, it's reliable,
Yeah.
but it's also a little bit passive.
Passive, that's the word. But now, what if 1,000 people you've never seen before all try to rush the door at once? Your bouncer is just, checking the list one by one. Clipboard face, clipboard.
He's getting overwhelmed.
Totally overwhelmed. And the club is empty because the line isn't moving.
That's a classic bottleneck. And in our world, that rush is a botnet, and your bouncer is the server's firewall.
Right. And that's where today's deep dive comes in. We're looking at a huge shift in how web servers defend themselves. We aren't just talking about a bigger bouncer. We're talking about a bouncer that, sets
A
traps.
bouncer that asks you to solve a riddle before you can even get in line.
Yes. And if you fail the riddle, you're not just turned away.
You're banned from the entire neighborhood.
I love that. So, okay, specifically, we are unpacking the release of NGINX Honeypot 3.0, which came out in February 2026.
The technical name is a bit of a mouthful. It's the NGESTP NFT and Test Access Module.
It really is. But the promise here is huge. We're talking about a move away from the legacy tool IPSET to the modern framework, NF tables.
And the Doxum Get Page Speed claim it offers zero latency blocking and these active defense features that live right inside NGINX.
Active defense, that's the key phrase here, isn't it? We're moving from just checking a static list to a system where the server is, actively engaging with traffic.
It's trying to figure out if you're human or machine.
So our mission today is to tear this apart. Why are we ditching these old tools? How does a server actually trap a bot? And I mean, is it actually safe to let your server automatically ban people?
All great questions. And the answers really lie in the architecture changes between version 2.0 and this new 3.0 release.
Okay, let's start there. The architecture. So the headline is IPSET to NF tables. I have to play the skeptic for a second. I know sysadmins who have used IPSET forever. It's like the old reliable pickup truck of Linux firewalls.
It's not flashy, but it gets the job done.
Exactly. So why fix what isn't broken?
It's a fair question. And IPSET has been a workhorse. But think of it this way. The pickup truck is reliable, but the roads have changed. The whole Linux ecosystem has moved on.
How so?
Well, you look at modern enterprise systems, RAGL9, Rocky Linux 9, their default firewall tool, Firewalled, is already using NF tables on the back end.
Ah, so if you're still using IPSET, you're kind of fighting the natural flow of the operating system.
Precisely. You're maintaining this legacy dependency for just one tool. Switching to NF tables means the module integrates with the native flow of the OS. It's just cleaner.
Okay, but it's not just about being modern, right? There's a real advantage here.
A huge usability advantage. I know usability in firewall tools sounds like a contradiction.
A little bit, yeah.
But think about it. Before, you had iptables for your rules and then IPSET for your lists of IPs. Two separate tools, two syntaxes.
Right, you're constantly switching between them.
Exactly. With NF tables, you have one unified utility,
Yeah.
NFT. So one tool to manage your rules, your tables, your sets, everything. It just streamlines the whole process.
Less cognitive load for the admin, that's a win. But the release notes mention something technical, interval sets.
Yes. This sounds boring until you actually have to do it.
Interval sets. It sounds like a math problem.
It's simpler than that. So in networking, we often want to ban a whole range of IPs, a subnet. You'd write that in CIDR notation, like 192.168.0.024.
Sure, you catch a whole block of bad guys at once.
Well, with the old IPSET, you had to use a very specific data type for that, hash.net. If you got it wrong or mixed single IPs with ranges, it just got messy. It was really rigid.
Like trying to fit square pegs in a round hole.
Exactly. NF tables just supports interval sets natively. Doesn't care if you give it one IP or a massive subnet. It handles both, same efficiency. You just tell it what to block.
That sounds much more forgiving. And speaking of which, let's talk about IPv6.
Ah, yes. The addresses that look like a cat walked across the keyboard.
Right. I remember having to maintain two completely separate blacklists, one for IPv4, another for IPv6, a total nightmare.
It was a huge pain. You had to duplicate all your logic. This new module, though, has auto detection.
How does that work?
It's smart. It just looks at the client request, sees if it's a V4 or V6 address, and then applies the rule to the correct NF table set. automatically. You don't have to separate them in your config anymore.
So from my perspective, an IP is just an IP. I don't care what flavor it is.
Exactly. It removes a whole layer of boilerplate.
Okay, so the foundation is solid. But let's get to the claim that made my eyebrows go up. Zero latency blocking. Now, you and I both know zero is usually marketing speak.
You're right to be skeptical. In engineering, zero usually means so small you won't notice.
Yeah.
But the stats here are genuinely impressive. We're talking about 50 to 100 microseconds.
Microseconds, so.
Right.
Effectively instant.
For all intents and purposes, yeah. And the reason they can do this is how they handle communication between NGINX and the kernel. They've built something called thread local limmf tables contexts.
Okay, that's heavy jargon. Break that down for us. What's a thread local context?
Okay, imagine a busy kitchen. You've got 10 chefs. Those are your NGINX workers. They all need to chop vegetables, but there's only one cutting board.
That's a nightmare. 9 chefs are just standing around waiting.
Exactly. That waiting is lock contention. With less optimized modules, processes have to wait for access to the firewall controls. Thread local means every chef gets their own cutting board.
So no waiting.
No waiting. Each NGINX worker has its own dedicated line to talk to the kernel. So even if you're getting hammered with requests, the security check itself isn't causing a traffic jam.
That makes sense. The pipes stay open.
And they pair that with an LRU cache in shared memory.
LRU, least recently used.
Correct. Classic algorithm. It keeps the status of the most active IPs in a super fast memory zone. The docs claim a hit rate over 95%.
So 95% of the time, the server doesn't even have to ask the kernel, is this IP banned?
It just remembers. It says, I saw this guy 2 milliseconds ago. I know he's blocked. It skips all the heavy lifting. That's how you get down to microsecond latency.
Very efficient. Okay, so it's fast. Now let's get to the juicy part, the honeypot features. This is where we stop just passively blocking and start actively setting traps.
Right. This is the NFT Tattlewad feature.
Oh.
And it's based on a simple idea. Bots are curious and generally pretty dumb.
A dangerous combination.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Bots will scan your server for vulnerabilities. They'll look for files that might not even exist, like wphadmin.php.
Even if you're not running WordPress.
Especially if you're not running WordPress. A human user would never type that in. A bot, though, is programmed to check that path on every server it finds.
So you turn their own curiosity against them.
Exactly. You set that location up as a trap. The moment a request hits it, the module triggers and adds their IP directly to the NFTable's blacklist.
Damn. Caught in the act. Straight to jail.
Instantly. And you can even configure how you respond. You can send a standard 403 forbidden, but it also supports NGINX's special code, 444.
The 444. That's the rude one, right?
It's the ghost response. It just tells the server to drop the connection. No headers, no goodbye, just hang up.
I love the pettiness of that. It saves bandwidth and just leaves the bot hanging.
It does. But we should talk about nuance. You said straight to jail, but for how long?
Right. What if I'm a real user and I accidentally typed the wrong URL? Or what if I'm on coffee shop Wi-Fi and someone else triggers the trap? Is the whole coffee shop banned?
That is a very real risk. And it's why permanent bans are usually a bad idea.
Mm.
IP addresses rotate. So the module lets you set a timeout, like 24 hours.
So it's more of a cool down period. You were suspicious, go sit in the corner for a day.
Exactly. It keeps the list clean automatically.
Okay, so we have traps. What about the brutes? The ones just hammering the login page over and over.
That's NFTC setter limit. Now, NGINX has had rate limiting forever. But usually it just slows you down with a 503 error.
The spinning wheel of death.
Right. But this module adds an autoban parameter. If an IP exceeds the limit, say 100 login attempts in a minute, it doesn't just throttle them, it moves them to the ban list.
So it changes the conversation from please slow down to don't come back for an hour.
Precisely. And a crucial detail here is that this state is stored in shared memory.
Why does that matter?
Because NGINX workers reload all the time. If you didn't use shared memory, you'd lose your list of bad guys every time you reloaded your config.
Ah, so the criminals would get a get-out-of-jail-free card just because I rotated my logs.
Exactly. This makes the ban persistent.
Very robust. Now, there's one more rep in here that felt the most sci-fi to me, the JavaScript challenge. This is proof-of-work territory.
It is. This is designed to filter out the really dumb bots, the scripts that are just using curl and can't render a web page.
Right, no JavaScript engine.
Correct. So with NFT set challenge, a suspicious user doesn't get your site. First, they get a 503 error page.
Wait, a 503? If I see that, I just assume the site is broken and leave.
Well, in this context, it's a temporary holding pattern. That page has a bit of JavaScript, a computational puzzle. A real browser just solves it in the background and sends the answer back.
The user doesn't have to do anything.
It's invisible. If the difficulty is low, it takes milliseconds. The page reloads with a verification cookie, and they're in.
But a simple bot?
It just sees the 503 and gets stuck. It can't solve the puzzle.
So it's like a bouncer asking you to solve a quick math problem. A human can do it. A simple robot short circuits.
Essentially. And you can tune the difficulty from level 1 up to level 8. Level 1 is about 100 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. Level 8 can take 10 seconds or more.
10 seconds? Why would you ever make a user wait 10 seconds?
You wouldn't use that for your homepage.
Mm.
You'd use it during a massive attack to create a tar pit.
A tar pit. I like that.
The idea is to slow the attackers down. If they have to spend 10 seconds of their CPU to make one request, their attack becomes incredibly expensive and slow. You drain their resources.
Huh? That's a fascinating strategic layer. But this brings me back to my big fear. We're automating bans, setting traps. What if I mess it up? What if I ban the CEO's laptop?
That is the fear of blocking. Every sysadmin feels it.
So how does this module help with that anxiety?
It has a dry run mode.
Yeah.
NFT set dry run.
How does that work?
The shadow mode. The module does all the processing, the honeypots, the rate limits. But when it gets to the point where it would ban an IP, it stops.
So it just makes a note of it?
Exactly. It writes a log entry that says, DR run would block IP 1.2.3.4. You turn this on for a day, analyze the logs, and if you see legitimate traffic getting flagged, you know you need to adjust your rules.
That seems like a mandatory first step. And you mentioned logs. Is it easy to see what's happening?
Observability is built in. It has a metrics endpoint for Prometheus.
Oh, nice. So you can plug it straight into a Grafana dashboard.
Yep. Real-time graphs of who's blocked, who's being challenged, all of it. It turns the firewall from a black box into something you can see.
And for individual requests.
There's a variable, NFT at result. You add it to your NGINX access log, and it will say allow, deny, dry run, or challenged for every single request.
So debugging isn't a guessing game.
No, it's transparent.
I have to ask about a scenario that affects, what, half the internet? Cloudflare. Load balancers. If my server is behind a proxy, every request looks like it's coming from the proxy's IP.
The classic real IP problem.
Oh, right. If the honeypot bans that IP, I've just banned Cloudflare. I've taken my own site offline.
The nightmare scenario. The module integrates with NGINX's standard realip module.
So it looks inside the headers for the real IP.
Yes, it uses the IP from a header like X-forwarded for its bans, not the proxy's IP.
But wait, can't a hacker just fake that header?
They absolutely can, and that's why the configuration is critical. You have to use the ctrl from directive to tell NGINX which proxy IPs you trust.
So you're saying only believe this header if it comes from a Cloudflare IP.
Exactly. If you don't do that, you open yourself up to spoofing vulnerabilities where a hacker could frame an innocent IP. Got it. Okay, so we've covered the tech. What's the price of admission? This isn't just an apt-get install, is it?
No, it is not. This is a commercial module, part of the Get Page Speed Pro plan. It's closed source.
That'll be a barrier for some.
It will be. There's also another cost in terms of system permissions. NGINX needs the CapNetAdmin capability.
NetAdmin? That sounds like a lot of power.
It's a slice of root privileges, yeah. It gives NGINX permission to modify the Pernal's network tables.
Is that a security risk?
It's a trade-off. You're giving the server the keys to the gate so it can lock it. The argument is that the increased security from the active defense outweighs that theoretical risk.
A calculated risk.
Yes.
And for people already on version 2.0, the IPSET one, is the upgrade hard?
It requires some work. You have to convert your IPSETs to NFT tables and rename the directives in your config, like from IPSET blacklist to NFT set blacklist.
So a find and replace job and some command line work.
Yes. And I can't stress this enough. Use dry run mode during the migration. Verify everything before you go live. Solid advice. So stepping back, we've gone from a world of manually updating a text file of bad IPs to a system where the server is actively challenging and banning traffic in microseconds.
It really represents a move toward set it and forget it security, but at a much higher level.
Yeah.
The server isn't just serving pages anymore, it's protecting its own perimeter.
That's the real win, isn't it? If WordPress never even sees the bad request because NGINX killed it, your server load drops, your database is happier.
And you sleep better. It lets the application focus on serving content while the web server handles the bouncer duties with incredible efficiency.
A bouncer who is also a ninja.
That's a pretty good analogy, yeah.
So here's the thought I want to leave everyone with. We're living in an age of AI-driven botnets. Attacks are getting smarter, faster. Is a static firewall, a simple list of who's allowed and who's blocked, really enough anymore? Or is the future of security entirely dependent on these active defenses that force an attacker to reveal themselves?
It's the question every sysadmin needs to be asking. Passive defense might just be becoming obsolete.
Something to chew on. Thanks for guiding us through the deep end.
Always a pleasure.
Catch you in the next deep dive.